x plus y plus 2z equals to 1, and 2x plus 3y plus z equals to 2. Now, these two planes are not parallel because their normal vectors, 1, 2, 1, and 2, 3, 1, are not proportional. So they're not parallel planes. So they're like that. So the problem is to find the plane. Okay, that's what I said. Find the plane. So how do we actually go about and finding containing the plane? I have to have one more piece of information that I want to write down. What I want is find the plane containing a line of intersection of these two planes, which passes through the point, say 1, 1, 1. Now, I can do that problem very brutally by finding the line of intersection. To get a plane, I need 3 points. So if I take the line of intersection, I can get 2 points on it, and then I have a third point, then I can get a plane. But I want to do that without doing that. I want to do the least amount of work possible. So basically, what I want to do, well, I have 2 planes, and I want to find a plane passing through the line of intersection, containing the line of intersection of those two planes. Well, there's a little trick which tells you how to do that. I mean, this is the written assignment that you're handing today. The trick to do that, without actually finding the line of intersection, I can produce lots of planes containing the line of intersection of the two by just taking linear combinations of the two planes. So the linear combination, let's do the solution. If you take A times x plus y plus 2z plus B 2x plus 3y plus z equals A plus 2b, that's a linear combination of the two given planes. Now that's a plane, unless it's the 0 equals 0, because that would also pass through the, I just have to make sure that it's not the 0 equals 0 equation, which is not a plane. So that's one thing you have to make sure. But it's certainly, it's either 0 or it's a plane. Why wouldn't it be 0? Why wouldn't it be the 0 equation if A and B were not 0? If A and B are 0, then that's 0 equals 0. But if A and B are not 0, the left-hand side cannot be 0. Why? Well, look at the normal. Let's look at that equation. It looks like this. If you look at the normal vector of that linear combination on the left-hand side, what are the coefficients of x, y, and z? Well, that vector is just a linear combination of the coefficients of the x, y, and z in the first two equations. So if you look at the coefficient of x, you're going to get a plus 2b x plus a plus 3b y plus 2a plus b z equals a plus 2b. Now, if you look at the coefficient of x, y, and z, that vector is precisely a linear combination of the normal vectors of the two equations. So you have here a plus 2b, a plus 3b, 2a plus b is equal to a into 1, 1, 2 plus b into 2, 3, and 1. Okay. So now those two vectors, the normal vectors of the two planes that we remarked before, are non-proportional, so they're linearly independent. No linear combination of them, which is non-trivial, can be 0. Otherwise, one of them would be a scalar multiple of the other. So this is not 0. So here I have a plane. As long as I take A and B non-zero, which I certainly want to do, I want to find, can I choose the A and B so that it satisfies, it passes through that other point, 1, 1, 1. So we want this plane, the plane want the plane 1 to pass through 1, 1, 1. So basically, I have two given planes, and what I do is by taking linear combinations, if you like superposition, you do it in physics, when you take forces and you take linear combinations of forces to produce other forces. In this case, I take my two equations, I take linear combination of those equations to produce another equation. And the thing is, and it satisfies one of the conditions, that it contains the line of intersection. Now, what do I want to do? I want to adjust, can I adjust the A and the B so that it satisfies the last condition? That's a typical problem that one does in linearity. Oh boy. I learned how to do something.
Okay.
Let's just try that. So therefore, we want that. If we just do that, we want that. Let's just do that in the original equation here. So we take that equation and we want it to satisfy 1, 1, 1. So we basically want a plus 2b times 1 plus a plus 3b times 1. Plus 2a plus b times 1 to be equal to a plus 2b. Now let's bring together all the coefficients of a and b. So in other words, if I do that, I'll have a plus... Let's look at the coefficients of A. I'll have A into, what will be the coefficient of A? I'll have A into 1 plus 1 plus 2, which is 4, minus 1, which is 3A. And then the B, I'll have 2 plus 3, which is 5, plus 1, which is 6, minus 2, which is 4. 4B equals 0. Okay. Now, why the 3 and the 4? Actually, the 3 and the 4 are just the differences. If you take the first equation, you put 1, 1, 2, you're going to get 4, and then subtract off 1, you're going to get 3. So that's not 0, because I take that point 1, 1, 1 is neither of the two equations. So the coefficients of the A and the B are precisely the difference in the right-hand and left-hand sides of the given equations when I substitute the point in. And you will see that in general. Sometimes, for an example, you can't see what's going on, but if you do it in general, you see exactly why that came in if you're giving a general proof. So now all I have to do is satisfy, can I do this? Well, choose A equals, say, minus 4, and B equals 3. That'll work.
I know my plane is going to be unique after multiplication by a scalar, and that will do the job. So that's the job. So in other words, I solved the problem by taking linear combinations of two planes which satisfied two of the first condition, that is, they contain the line of intersection, and then taking linear combinations to move that linear combination around, and then I just have to adjust the A and B to pass through that other point. So that's a typical idea. We'll see another example of how taking linear combinations of things can, to satisfy another condition, can lead to a successful solution. As I said, you can actually do this without doing all this by just brutally finding the line of intersection. Well, on the test, you have to do that. But there are different ways of doing things, sometimes more easy than other, depending on the power, as I said, of the tools that you use for the problem at hand. Yeah?
For your last equation, does that mean that 3a equals 4b?
Well, I just need a solution. Yeah, I know. 3a equals 4b.
I mean, can you just put a number for one of them and then add the other in terms of...
Sure, there's lots of solutions. E.g., for example, I took the easiest one. I don't want a fraction. You take A equals 1 and B is minus 3/4.
Oh,
that's all. I just need one solution to do it. There are many answers, but the plane is the same. The equations will be different up to a multiplication by a scalar, which you can clear after it. But anyway, that's okay. So that's so that's that problem. So for example, how would I go find, say, find a plane which does not intersect the two given planes? How would I do that?
Well, I have my two planes like that. Okay. Now I want to find a plane which doesn't intersect those two planes. That is, I want to avoid the line of intersection, because that's where the first two meet. So I want another plane which going through there. So how would I do that? Well, my plane clearly cannot be tilted like this, because it's going to cut that line of intersection. So it's going to have to be like this. What does that like this mean? The normal to that has to be a linear combination of the normals of the two given planes. Otherwise, if it weren't, then it would, it's not in that plane, then it would be tilted and it would intersect. So how would I produce a plane which is, doesn't intersect the line of intersection? Does not cut the first two, does not meet the first two planes. Well, what I do, I can certainly find a plane which passes through the intersection which is different from those two. So, for example, I have that plane above here, which I just, you don't even have to take that one. So let me just add the two equations of the two planes. So if I add the two equations of the two planes, so I take A and B equals to 1, I'm certainly going to get a plane passing through, containing the line of intersection. So here, the plane, say if I take the plane X, so just add the two equations. So for example, if I just add these two equations, X plus Y plus 2Z, and I'm going to get 3x plus 4y. So if I take the plane 3x plus 4y, so I'm just adding the two equations that I've been given, plus 3z equals. Now, if I took the same linear combination, if I just added the right-hand sides, I'd get 3. That's not what I want, because if I just add the two equations, I'm going to get a plane passing through the line of intersection, somewhere in between. But it's going to pass through the line of intersection if I choose the sum of the constants on the right side. Now, if I don't want the sum of the constants, I'd just move that plane off. And then that plane that I move it off is going to be parallel to the line of intersection, so it can't meet it. That's going to give my third term. So here it is.
1 plus 4. Or I could put 0. Anything that doesn't add up to the 3 is a weak, which is the sum, it works.
Find the plane that does not intersect the two given planes.
Yeah. I'm trying to produce a condition which satisfies, you're in the problem, you're asked, you're given three planes which don't meet, which have no point in common. I'm just showing how to actually produce that using the ideas of the first, an intelligent way of actually doing that. Well, you take any two planes which meet, take the sum of the two, and then move it up. That'll produce three planes which cannot have any point in common, because the first two equations intersect at that line. The sum of the two equations will pass through the line of intersection, but I just move it up. So then there's no common solution.
Yeah, but that's not what I said. Maybe the plane intersects.
Yeah, but it can't be tilted. You see that the it can't be. It's just moved off parallel. That's an idea. If you take a plane passing through this line, and then if you move it, you just move it parallel to itself, you're not going to hit this line. See, the line of intersection of the first two planes, I know. So if I want to find a third plane which doesn't meet the other two planes in a common point, I mean it doesn't meet the intersection of those two planes. I want to find three planes that have no point in common. So I have two planes and I know where the difficulty lies. I produce a plane passing through that line and then I move it and I remove the difficulty. So that's how you produce. Yeah.
So you're trying to find a plane that doesn't intersect the two planes on that line.
Well, I'm going to find three planes that have no point in common.
both. Doesn't intersect both of them.
It can intersect, it will intersect either of them separately. So you have these two planes, then you have a plane like this, you have a kind of a triangle thing. It will intersect each, but it won't, there will be no point in common. So I'm sorry. Okay? There's no point of, that lies in all three, because the points that lie on the intersection of the first two don't lie on the third.
You see that? Since it is a translate of a plane passing through the line of intersection of the first two planes.
So if a plane passing through the line of intersection, I translate it off, then it's not going to pass, it's not going to meet that line. So it doesn't have any point in common with the first two lines, so it doesn't have any point in common with all three. So there's no point in common with all three, because at that point would have to be on the line of intersection that my plane is off.
Okay. Okay, that's just by way of introduction to the thing we want to talk about today. And so today I just want to give another problem. And so the problem is going to write this out here. It has nothing to do apparently with linear algebra at the outset. We're going to introduce linear algebra concepts to solve it. And at the same time introduce the next important character or two characters in the course, namely linear transformations and eigenvectors. Yeah. If I added the first two equations, you see, if I added the first two equations, the two given equations, I'll get 3x plus 4y plus 3z equals 3. I just changed the 3 to a 4. That just moves it up. That's all I did. So if it's down the line of intersection, it'll have to add up to 3, right? So I just changed the 3 to 4. So anything on the line of intersection can't satisfy that third equation. That's the idea. That's the sum of the two equations.
Which is the equation of the line.
No, that's a plane passing through the line of intersection. Yeah. But I don't want the 3 because that plane passes through the line of intersection. Contains. So I change the 3 to a 4, and then that avoids the solutions which are common to the common solutions of the first two equations. Yeah.
If you take a plane parallel to one of
them, that'll work too. Yeah, exactly. This is what I've done. No, parallel to the line of intersection.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
it's only one of the.
Yeah, yeah. That's right. It has to be to the line of intersection. And this is why this method. Otherwise, I'd have to find the line of intersection to do the problem. I want to do it without finding the line of intersection. That's the idea. Okay. And basically, all I have to do is take a plane whose normals are just linear combinations of the normals of the two given planes, because I just want to move them around. So the normals just move together. That's all I'm doing. Just taking a linear combination of the normals. So that's the content of that assignment, the geometric context. If you understand the geometric context, you should be able to execute it into. Now, not being able to do it just with numbers, but in general, because a lot of you may be taking computer science, where you have to write a program. A program has to be, you can't work with specific numbers. It'll be with just variables, and you're going to have conditions. What if this happens? What if this happens? What if that happens? So you have to see and be able to think in general, abstractly, because the problems may be concrete, but you don't know what possible conditions that you have to come up with. So you have to write things which are transparent to individual numbers, and you have to be able to handle cases. So it's important to be able to write things correctly, abstractly, without numbers in them. That's that. If you did it the first problem with numbers, then you may not understand exactly the content. So here the problem is the following. Find a formula for the nth term of the sequence. Here's the sequence. 1, 1, minus 1, minus 11, minus 19. Okay, this is a... aptitude test. Maybe you've taken these tests. Can you find? Can you tell me what the next term in the sequence is going to be? Well, I don't think you can really do that, because there's no obvious pattern here. But let me give you the law. So this is let me give you the law of formation. So here this is, let's call this x0, let's call this x1, x2, x3, x4. So basically I want to tell you how to get the next term in the sequence, x5. Well, x5 here, but the rule of formation for the sequence is the following. So let me, so the rule of formation is the following. I'll take, it's this one. It says that xn plus 2 is equal to 5xn plus 1 minus 6xn. In other words, if I know two terms in the sequence, I can get the next one. So if you look at it carefully, just going back to the first one, so basically I start with 1 and 1. I'll take 5 times the... So I want to find the third one, the x2 here. So I take 5 times the previous one and subtract off 6 times the one before that. Gives me minus 1. So the next one, I'll take 5 times the one before it, which is minus 1. So it's minus 5, minus 6 times the one before that, which is 1. So I get minus 6, so it's minus 11. And this one, minus 19, is minus 5, is 5 times the third one, which will be minus 55. Minus 6 times the x2, the one before that, which is minus 1. So you get plus minus 55, sorry, 49. Fix that. So it's minus 55 plus 6, which is minus minus 49. Okay. Now I know why you couldn't guess that, that one. I'm sorry. Just kidding. Okay. Oops. Now, what I want to do is to re-describe this problem, give you a different way of computing the terms of this sequence. So I claim that you can get the terms of the sequence in this way. So for example, let me introduce the following matrix. Now, all of this is going to look like black magic. Well, it's supposed to be because you're going to learn how to do the magic a little bit later. I'm going to do the tricks, and you're going to know how to do this, and you're going to impress people. But right now, let me just do this, and you'll see why. But why do you want to do this? It's not so clear. Let's take A to be 1, and let me get this right. I may have to adjust this here because... So let me take A... into, let me take A into, say, the first two, which is 1, 1. So what do I do here? I'm going to A times 1, 1, which is 0, 1, minus 6, 5, times the column 1, 1. Now, why 1, 1? 1, 1 is the column vector consisting of the first two terms of my sequence. So I want to get the next, the third one. So I'm going to give you a way of how to do it. So I take the first two terms, I take that, I'm going to get, well, 0, 1 times my matrix is going to be just 1, and then minus 6 plus 5 is minus 1. Ah, so that's the third number. So I take the first two numbers multiplied by the matrix, I'm going to get repeat 1, which is the second number, and then plus the new number, which is the third term. Okay. So let's see actually why that works in general. So for example, if I take A into, so supposing I take xn and xn plus 1, so here this is 1, 1 is just x0, x1. Here 1, 1 is just equal to x0, x1, the first two terms of my sequence. So let me take any two terms of my sequence, xn, xn plus 1, and multiply it by A and see if I don't get the right thing. So in other words, if I've computed xn and xn plus 1, how do I get xn plus 2? Well, if I multiply this out, you're going to get xn plus 1 because, let me write out that matrix again, A. So I'm going to get A, which is 0, 1, minus 6, 5, into xn, xn plus 1. And so what this is going to be equal to, again, you're going to have xn plus 1, and the next one will be minus 6 xn plus 5 xn plus 1, which is, by our law of formation, xn plus 1 xn plus 2. Okay? So now I have a machine that will take the two terms in the sequence and will produce the third term. Well, it'll reproduce the xn, the xn, and then it'll give you the next one, xn plus 2. Okay. Now, if I take A, we saw AX0, X1, this is equal to x1, x2. Now if I take A times x1, x2, this is going to be x2, x3. Okay? So that means that if I take A squared into x0, x1, I'm going to get x2, x3. So you see that the computation of x3 was tantamount to computing the square of the matrix A. And in general, you can see very easily by induction, you have here, if you take A to the n, if you repeat this n time, if you multiply x0, x1, the first two terms, by the matrix A to the n, you just keep repeating that, you're going to get all the terms. So what this is going to be is just equal to xn, xn plus 1. So if I knew how to compute the nth power of that matrix, I would be able to find a formula for xn with here right there. So xn plus 1 would be just, so in other words here, a to the, so in other words from here, this xn, xn plus 1 would be equal to a into a to the n times 1, 1. Okay. Now, if you try to compute the powers of a, you're going to get some horrible numbers. You really won't be able to, you can just try a few. You're going to get, for example, if you take a squared, this is 0, 1, minus 6, 5, 0, 1, minus 6, 5, which is going to be equal minus 6, 5, and then you're going to get minus 30, right? And then minus 6 plus 25 is 19. And if you do A cubed, the numbers are going to be just not very illuminated, to say the least. However, there is a really neat trick. This matrix A, has a very nice property, which will allow us to effect this calculation with a minimal amount of work, no stress, this grain problem. But you have to have the idea. And this will involve why we want to use bases other than the standard bases for our n. This will be a really good illustration of why we want to talk about bases at all. What are they good for? You'll see it illustrated in this simple situation. Okay. Namely, now where this comes up, that's another rabbit I'm going to pull out. Why I'm pulling out this? Well, it's non-trivial, but once you know how it works, you can do it. You can repeat the trick. I'm just showing you the trick. And then you're going to, I'm not showing you how to do it. I'm just showing you the trick and hopefully impressing you enough that you're going to want to learn what we're going to be talking about for the rest of the course. What we're talking about the rest of the course is really intimately related to this stuff. Okay, so it's this very nice property. Minus 6 plus 10 is 4. It's 2, 4. Ah, what's 2, 4? 2, 4 is 2 times 1, 2. Oh.
Look at that. I've got a vector, namely 1, 2, which when I multiply it by A on the left, I get a scalar multiple of it. In other words, remember a matrix, one interpretation of matrix is that it's a transformation of the plane. In other words, you take the points x in the plane, ax is another point in the plane. So we're going to exploit that idea. If I take that x, in this case 1, 2, I multiply it by a, I transform it into 2 times 1, 2, stretched it. That's all it does. That's all the matrix does. What it does to 1, 0 is not particularly illuminating. A times 1, 0, that's just the first column, which is, is 0 minus 6. And A times 0, 1 is the second column, which is of A, which is 1, 5. Well, that doesn't relate, well, not relate very well to the 0, 1. Now, this one has, now let's look at the second one. There's another magic vector here. 1, 3 is, let's look at this one, 0, 1, minus 6, 5, 1, 3, and this is 3, minus 6 plus 15, it's 9, which is 3 times 1, 3. Ah, another one. Another vector, which is not a scalar multiple of the other one, has the property that it's also stretched by A. Multiplication on the left by A. Yeah.
Does this
overwork
with the matrix 01,
06, 5? No. Well, not every matrix has vectors like this. I mean, these are special matrices. And these vectors, these are called eigenvectors. And not every matrix has them. But when they do, the results are spectacular. I mean, in physics, you have quantum mechanics. The things that you can observe turn out to be the states. Turned out to be vectors. And the things that you can measure turn out to be operators, or linear transformations on these states. And the things that you can measure are the eigenvalues corresponding to the eigenvectors. So these ideas, I mean, you're going to need to take these courses. These appear in biology, in population growth. If you look at the examples in the text, if you want to look at the example of the population growth, these things come up very, very, very much. And these eigenvectors and eigenvalues are very special things. And they have a lot, very often, the problem comes out of an application, and an eigenvector and eigenvalue involved, they have some really physical interpretation, which is very, very important. The way I got this one, I just did it to illustrate a point. How I got it was to solve that sequence problem. It had nothing to do with any kind of applications, although it is related to population growth. The same type of technique will work with those types of matrices, where you have a population and then it changes from year to year. So if you have a population of two species and it changes from xn, yn is the population of two species, and the next year it changes, and there's a law which goes from one year to the next, which is kind of linear like the ones I have here, then you can actually do the same kind of thing in many cases. So in this case we have, so let's make a definition here. A column matrix X such that X not zero, AX equals some scalar multiple of X is called an eigenvector of X. And C is called the eigenvalue. Of the eigenvector. We're going to
give some more examples. This came out very naturally. Well, not so naturally. This is a magic trick that I'm doing here. So let us see how it's used. How do we use this piece of this luck of these two vectors? Okay, I want to compute a to the n without any sweat. What do I know? What is the nth column of a to the n? Well, it's a to the n times 1, 0. Do I have to compute a to the n times 1, 0? Well, and then I have a to the n times 0, 1. So let me show you how to translate the computation of a to the n times 1, 0 and 0, 1 into computations of a to the n on 1, 2, and 1, 3. Basically, the idea is this. Now, here's the real why you have a... Okay. So what I claim is I want to write... So let me take any vector. Let's take any vector x, y. I claim that I can write it as, say, a times 1, 2 plus b times 1, 3. Why? Why can I do that? Since. Why can I do that? If I take any vector in the plane, why did I write it as a linear combination of 1, 2, and 1, 3? So they're linear dependent. Well, they're linear dependent and the right numbers. So they're a basis. They're a basis. If you take the matrix 1, 2, 1, 3, it's an invertible matrix. The columns are a basis. Since 1, 2, and 1, 3 are a basis. Well, R2, R2 by 1. Now, actually, I can actually explicitly find the A and the B. Let's do that. You have A plus B equals X, and I have 2A plus 3b equals y. So in other words, I can actually solve for a and b in terms of x and y. Well, it's very easy. If I subtract twice the first from the second, I will get rid of the a, and that will tell me b is equal to y minus 2x. But then if I put that in the first, I'm going to get a is equal to x minus b, which is going to be equal to 3x minus y. You know, whatever vector you give me, x, y, I can write it as a linear combination of 1, 2, and 1, 3. Okay? With the coefficients depending on the original vector 1, 2. In other words, the a and the b are what we call the coordinates of the vector x, y, not with respect to the standard basis, but with respect to this other basis. Why would I want to go there? You'll see in a minute why I want to do that. Because I can compute easily a to the n times 1, 2, and a to the n times 1, 3. So that should tell me how to compute easily a to the n times any vector whatsoever. That's the idea. So that's the idea in physics, superposition. If you have motion in space, if you have motion in space, then on the Earth, then there's the trajectory. If you throw out a particle or shoot a cannon, you want to know the trajectory. That's important. But anyway, how do they do that? Well, they realize that there's two kinds of forces involved. Gravity, which pulls this way, and then there's no force in this direction. So the two forces in each direction can be described. And then the intermediate, when you shoot it F-wave, then two forces come in. So the resulting trajectory is a superposition of the effects of the two forces. It's a very important idea, that of superposition. Solving a problem by breaking it up into two simpler problems and then adding the two results. This is exactly what we're doing here. In this case, the directions are 1, 2, and 1, 3. Those are the easy directions for computing a to the n. I can compute that transformation, a times those vectors, very easily. It just stretches in those directions. And therefore, I should be able to compute a to the n times any vector just by resolving, in this case, taking that vector x, y, and writing it as a new combination of those two vectors, 1, 2, and 1, 3. So let's just do it. So for example here, we have x, y is equal to 3x minus y, 1, 2, plus y minus 2x, 1, 3. In particular, I have 1, 0. I can write, what is 1, 0? 1, 0 will be 2 into 1, 2, and then 1, 0, so I'm going to have minus, did I do that right? And then I'm going to have 1, 0, so it's going to be minus 2. Did I do this right? Oh, three. Okay, because I was doing getting something which I had done before and it wasn't looking right. Thank you. 3 minus 2 into 1, 3. And then 0, 1 is equal to minus 1, 2. And then 1, 3. Okay. Okay, so let's go to the computer. What is a to the n 1, 0? Well, a to the n 1, 0 is what? It's 3 times a to the n 1, 2. So I'm using here the distributive property of matrices that it distributes over addition. And then plus minus 2 times a to the n times 1, 3. Ah, that's easy to compute. What is a to the n times 1, 2?
If I hit 1, 2 with a 1, what do I get? I multiply the vector by 2. If I hit a twice, a square times this vector, I do it twice, I get 4. If I do it the third time, I get 2 times that, or 8. So if I take a to the n times 1, 2, it's going to be 2 to the n times 1.
Very easy. Hard to compute a to the n 1, 0.
That's the whole problem. That's hard. This is easy.
So this is 3 times 2 to the n times 1, 2 minus what is a to the n times 1, 3?
A times 1, 3 is 3 times 1, 3. A squared times 1, 3 is going to be 9 times 1, 3. So a to the n 1, 3 is going to be 3 to the n.
And so I've computed, so let's write this out. So it's 3 times 2 to the n minus 2 times 3 to the n. And then the next column is 3 times 2 to the n plus 1. Well, that's just the next one, we know that. Minus 2 times 3 to the n plus 1. Ah, I've got the first column of a to the n. Right? There's the first column. And it doesn't look so pretty
if you're just computing without the numbers. But if you break down the calculation, you see how the numbers that you're getting are composed. They're like this. They're linear combination of powers of 2 and 3. And you wouldn't be able to guess that by just looking at the matrix.
But you said, I wouldn't have guessed. Why would I find these vectors? Well, the thing is, you'll be able to see how to introduce these tools to actually do this and actually find them. Yeah. Pardon? The original matrix. No, 1, 0. I did the calculation. I can take any vector x, y and write it as an linear combination of 1, 2 and 1, 3.
Yeah, but a to the n
times 1. 1, 0, yeah.
Yeah, equals 3, a to the n.
Well, I just use the distributive law. 1, 0 is 3 times 1, 2 minus 2 times 1, 3. Multiply that by a to the n.
Okay, what is a?
Well, that's the nth power of a. A is the matrix we started with. That's the first rabbit.
And how do you find the n that's
another rabbit. Wait. I'm doing a trick, and I'm not telling you how the trick works yet. That's next time.
So we don't know how to find the 2 to the n. How do you replace
the a's? Okay, and I want to...
Yeah.
Is your question again?
How do I know how to replace what? Well, here I took 1, 0, and I wrote it as what is the linear combination of the two vectors I wrote, 1, 2, and 1, 3. That's all I'm doing. Okay, that's standard. I did it for general, that's why, how to write any vector as a linear combination of 1, 2, and 1, 3. I know you can do it, but I wanted a specific formula. Yeah. Well, that's the whole point. I ask you, if you didn't know this, you wouldn't be able to do it. Just compute a to the n 1, 0. Not simply, no. This is the simplicity.
This is the simplification of the problem. This is the resolution of the problem. If you break up the calculation, instead of computing brutally 1, 0, you introduce these two new actors, 1, 2, and 1, 3, which you can compute a to the n on very simply. And then so you reduce to that. That's the point. You're reducing a difficult problem to two simple ones. That's the whole power of this. It's so deceptively simple, but the idea of it is actually quite remarkable. Okay, so let's compute a to the n times 0, 1. And for example, we can actually do it for a to the n 1, 1, and that'll give us the formula for xn, for example. Let's just do the 0, 1. So this is going to be equal to minus a to the n times 1, 2 plus a to the n times 1, 3, which is going to be equal to minus 2 to the n 1, 2 plus 3 to the n 1, 3. Okay. And so I can rewrite this as a single vector, minus 2 to the n, minus 2 to the n, plus 3 to the n, minus 2 to the n plus 1, plus 3 to the n plus 1. That's the second column way. So therefore, a to the n, and I challenge you to do this just without doing what I had here. So a to the n is, the first column is 3 times 2 to the n minus 2 times 3 to the n, and the second column is 3 times 2 to the n plus 1 minus 2 times 3 to the n plus 1, and the second column is minus 2 to the n plus 3 to the n, and the second entry is 2 to the n plus 1 plus 3 to the n plus 1. There's the nth power of a for any power. Okay? And you just compute that. You can do that with a pocket calculator. If you gave it to a programmer, oh, he'll do it just by repeating. You write a program that's very easy. So a to the 100. Okay, he'll do it. That'll take time. This way you have a formula that works right away. You just put in n and you get the answer. In terms of functions that are already programmable, programmed in your calculator. Now, let's compute a to the n times 1, 1. Remember, this is our xn, xn plus 1. That's the problem we wanted to find. Initially, what we wanted to find was a formula for xn. That's the nth term of that sequence. Right? And you can get that from 1, 1 by repeated powers of a. No, this matrix. There's three rabbits, A, and then the 1, 2, and 1, 3.
Yeah, but what is A?
A is the matrix that makes all this calculation work. It's the first rabbit. It's exactly, I explained that at the beginning. So go back over, and you'll see why it works. You don't see why it works. It just works. All right, I'm just doing a trick. You'll be able to do this trick very soon in many other contexts. But right now, I just want to reinforce the ideas. The idea I want to get is the notion of an eigenvector, okay? What that is, and an eigenvalue. And I also want to get to the idea of the linearity, writing things as linear combinations of simpler things in order to affect the calculation. Those are the two ideas I'm really stressing. So let's go back to the original thing I wanted to compute. It was the nth term of my sequence, 1, 1, minus 1, minus 11, minus 40, 49, okay? Whatever. Oh, let me give you the formula for the nth term of that sequence now. We're done. So I just have to compute a to the n 1, 1. But how do I compute a to the n 1, 1? Well, that's the whole problem. That's hard to do. So what do? How do I write 1, 1? Well, I write a to the n. I can write 1, 1. I can write a to the n 1, 1. What is 1, 1? I have to write it as a linear combination of 1, 2 and 1, 3. Well, 1, 1. I already have the general formula. So what is it? If I take x and y to be 1, what do I get? I'll get 2 and minus 1. So I'm going to get 2 into 1, 2 minus 1, 3. Is that right? 2 minus 1 is 1. 4 minus 3 is 1. So there's 1, 1 is twice 1, 2 minus 1, 3. So I've written that vector 1, 1. I want to compute a to the n 1, 1 because I know that that's going to be xn, xn plus 1. So the first entry of that is going to give me the nth term of my sequence, which I'm trying to find. Right? Okay, so let's just do that. So this is going to be equal to, I can write this all out. It's 2 times, what is 8? So this is going to be 2 times, what is 8 to the n 1, 2? Well, let me should write out this step again. I guess not to. So this is going to be equal to 2 times a to the n 1, 2 minus a to the n 1, 3, which is equal to 2 to the n times 2, which is 2 to the n plus 1, 1, 2, minus 3 to the n 1, 3. Okay. So let me just write that out. So this is, I have to go another page, unfortunately. So this is equal to 2, this is equal to, I'm at the bottom of my page here. Okay. So what is the first entry going to be? Well, the first entry is going to be 2 to the n plus 1 minus 3 to the n. That's xn. So that's the formula for xn. Xn is 2 to the n plus 1 minus 3 to the n. Very simple formula. How do you get there? So that's the answer. So therefore, let me go to the next page. I hope I can, without too many screens here. So therefore, a to the n into 1, 1 is equal to 2 to the n plus 1 minus 3 to the n. And the second entry was, so I'll have to go back. The second entry, oh, I got an extra page here. Sorry. So it's going to be 2 to the n. Okay, so here's, this is the next term. So therefore, a to the n into 1, 1 is equal to 2 to the n plus 1 minus 3 to the n. And the next one is, of course, going to be 2 to the n plus 2 minus 3 to the n plus 1, just the next term in the sequence. So therefore, but this is equal to xn xn plus 1. Therefore, xn is equal to 2 to the n plus 1 minus 3 to the n. Ah, check it out. For 0, what do you get? For n equals to 0, you'll get 2 minus 1, which is 1. For n equals to 1, you're going to get 4 minus 3, which is 1. For n equals to 2, you're going to get 2 cubed 8 minus 9, which is minus 1. And for n equals 3, you're going to get 2 to the 4th, 16, minus 3 squared, which is 9, which is minus 6. Sorry, 8, it's 16 minus 16 minus, sorry, 2 cubed. No, 2 to the 4th, 16 minus 9, which is, no. Oh, sorry, it's 3. Sorry, 3. 16 minus 27, which is minus 11. Okay. So this is the formula. So in other words, the answer for xn, it's a linear combination of powers of 2 and 3. Hard to figure out unless you know how to actually tackle the problem. And this is just the tip of the iceberg. Yeah.
So why did we compute an 1, 0 and an 1, 2, 3?
Go home and try it. Yeah, we did. Yeah, we have. We computed. We have it before in the other one here. I've computed. I did. This is what I did. Just there it is. There's a to the n. Well, you could use that too. I just did it again to reinforce the idea. Yeah. Right. Sure. All I have to do is a to the n 1 1. I would just add those two. That's another way of doing it. Okay. Now. Okay. So next time we'll give some more examples of this idea of linearity. And we'll get some more geometrical examples. Go ahead and look in the text for more.
Here you substituted n with 2 n plus 1.
Yeah, because a to the n, see here, you missed a step. This is, I brought in, it's 2 times a to the n 1, 2. Right? I'm just using the distributive law. Again.
Yeah, but like you substituted n with 2.
Well, it's 2 times a to the n 1, 2, but a to the n 1, 2 is 2 to the n times 1, 2.
2 to the n.
Right? A to the n times 1, 2 is 2 to the n times 1, 2. Multiplying by a just multiplies it by 2. Okay? It just stretches the vector by 2. If I take a to the n times a times 1, 2 is 2, 1, 2. A squared times 1, 2 is 4, 1, 2. Okay? So I'm here, I'm just breaking it up. Like exactly, I'm just repeating what I did before here. Okay, so I 1
yeah, you,
1
before here you substituted a n 2.
I don't substitute. A to the n 1 2 is 2 to the n times 1 2.
Like why?
Yeah, I don't get why.
Because it's an eigenvector. A times 1, 2 is 2 times 1, 2. You see, this is what we did here when we were explaining the idea. Right here. A times 1, 2 is 2 times 1, 2. So if I multiply the matrix times 1, 2, I just get twice times 1, 2. So A squared times 1, 2 is 4 times 1, 2.
Okay.
2 to the A to the N times 1, 2 is 2 to the N times 1, 2. And similarly for A times 1, 3 is 3 times 1, 3. A squared will be 3 squared 1, 3. A to the N will be 3 to the N. So that's why it's simpler to compute A to the N times those vectors. Are very easy to compute, where it's very difficult to compute A to the N times 1, 0 and 0, 1. Unless I write those two vectors as a linear combination of those two vectors that I can compute A to the N very, very easily. So this is a divide and conquer, if you like. I take 1, 2, I divide it up into two simple pieces, which are very amenable to the operation of matrix multiplication with respect to that matrix A. It's different for different matrices. This is very specialized for that one particular matrix. That matrix has an amazing property. But anyway, I'll show you why this all works. This is what we're going to be doing the next week. Actually, the next several weeks. Pardon?
Does it only work with this matrix?
Like, well, no, it works in general, but not all matrices. This matrix was designed to solve this problem.
Okay, so this isn't.
This is a magic
valid
trick. It depends. Yeah, for this matrix. No. That's the point. 1, 2 is an eigenvector of this matrix A. I'll give you more examples next time. Different matrices may have them, have different ones, may not have any at all. Like, for example, you take a rotation. If you take a rotation, it doesn't fix anything. Nothing is stretched, it's just turned. Right?
Yeah.
Except you go to 180 degrees, then everything gets multiplied by minus one. So that's. But in general, if you just rotate through less than 180 degrees, there's no vector is going to be stretched. So a rotation to less than 180 degrees has no eigenvectors. So, but we'll give some more geometry. Look in the text for more examples. It starts out with this thing. I started out a little bit differently with a nice problem that one. In fact, he does this. In fact, this is quite related to his examples on population growth and Markov chains, which we won't have time in class. I chose this one because it doesn't need any kind of particular knowledge about anything. Just what a sequence is, how to, you know, it's a very familiar situation, generate a sequence. And you want to find a formula for the nth term of that sequence. And the matrix that I did here was introduced just in order to do it. Basically, there's only one matrix. I mean, the idea is that you want to generate that sequence by the terms of that sequence by. Oh boy, I'm better. The TAs are not going to be marking the assignments.
Okay, so
it's quite clear what's stated. Your course name, your instructors. Okay, not so. It's not TA. It's the instructor. It's marked by the instructors of the course.
Okay. Yeah.
But if you put the TA, it's not so bad. It'll come.
Okay.
As long as it's. But put your professor. Okay.
And sir, are we allowed to use any information that we learned in Chapter 3?